welcome your ears to a Friday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, Chris Del Conte has some high praise for his new coaches. Texas baseball missed a huge opportunity last night. NASCAR finally hits Austin, and we recount the story of Deucegate. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how we doing today?
Doing good. Thank God it's Friday. How you doing, brother?
Amen to that.
Yeah, man. You can't be in a bad mood on a Friday. That's the rule. Mm-hmm. Meet somebody who's in a bad mood on a Friday, may need to rethink that relationship.
I don't care who or what you believe in.
Exactly.
You better believe in that.
You better believe in Fridays, damn it.
Come
That's American.
It really is. It really is. I'll be here as well. I am BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling from now until 6:10 tonight. At that time, we'll send you off to Texas baseball. The Longhorns taking on West Virginia tonight. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch. The Longhorns will try to bounce back after dropping the series opener to West Virginia at the
That was a little disappointing.
That was a lot of disappointing.
Yeah, no need to freak out or anything, but yeah, that's disappointing. Because, okay, am I correct that they knew of the TCU outcome prior to the game?
Not prior to the game starting, but prior to the game ending.
Prior to the game ending. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And, yeah, I mean, TCU served up a Big 12 title on a silver platter for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
And they dropped it.
It's all right.
Still a chance.
This team is resilient, as KD always says, so that's what you're hoping. Today they come back and they bounce back.
And they need some help, though. They need more help.
Well, now they need TCU to have a collapse, basically, right? Yeah.
We were hopeful TCU would lose one. They lost one.
They lost one.
Now we're hopeful they lose two.
Yeah. Baseball gods, I don't know. They don't work that way, usually.
They weren't on Texas' side last night. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. A lot of complaining about the umpires and the... What do you call them? Are they all umpires in baseball? Or the umpiring?
Yes.
I was going to say the officiating. I guess you could still say that, but the umpiring. It sounds like a word BK would make up. The umpiring.
The umpiring. It's a real word.
I've been hanging out with you too long.
That's a bad thing. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy, dude. So that'll happen at 6:30 tonight. Of course, you can hear that game right here on the Horn. But we appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Friday afternoon with us. No KD today. He's been out all week on vacation. He will return to the Triple Option on Monday. But Rod B and I holding down the fort once again. The speed option, the read option, whatever you want to call it, as my man Rod B says, still effective.
The shizzle.
So we'll be holding it down all afternoon long. By the way, before we jump into our Texas football conversation to open the show, Rod B, I do want to give some love to the Texas women's tennis team. Earlier today,
yeah, I saw that.
They punched their ticket to the national championship by sweeping North Carolina State
broke
in
off the
final
brooms.
Four.
Yeah. Wow. The brooms in the final four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Not too shabby right
there. Usually not playing scrubs in the final four.
No.
All right.
Not at all. The Texas women's tennis team will play in the national championship match tomorrow against the winner of North Carolina and Pepperdine.
Okay.
Probably the only sport Pepperdine will ever make the final four in.
I was going to say, Pepperdine, really? Mm-hmm. Good for them. Pepperdine standing out.
Good for them. So we'll see what happens. And the Texas men's tennis team is playing in the final four later this afternoon. So they are fighting for a spot in the national championship match as well. The Texas men taking on the top seed Florida. So the Longhorns, the underdog on the men's side, but already a tremendous season. Hopefully they can punch their ticket to the championship as well. Rod B, there's a chance Texas tennis walks home with two national championships this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be phenomenal. I mean, it's already been a historic spring sports calendar, I should say, for Texas Texas, the athletic department overall, what is it? Is it 12?
12.
Big 12 titles?
Uh-huh.
Man, and then you could add some national championship appearances and national championships, hopefully, on that too. That'd be really, really extraordinary, honestly. That'd be, considering what CDC's done so far, that'd be a hell of a tip of the cap, if you will.
Absolutely. Yeah, a couple of natties would be icing on the cake for what has been a historically good year for Texas student athletics. And the Texas baseball team can make it 13 Big 12 titles, by the way, this weekend, which would tie not only a Texas record, but a Big 12 record as well. So hopefully the baseball team can get it done. Rod, this story dropped towards the end of our show yesterday, and we touched on it for a little bit, but I think this deserves another segment because this is not only a Texas football story, this is not only a state of Texas story, this has become a national story, and it involves high school football, college football, and to a lesser degree, the NFL. Potentially a groundbreaking decision made by a class of 2022 Texas football commit. Jaden Blue is his name. You probably heard of this story by now. A four-star running back from Klein Kane High School in the Houston area. He made an announcement on Twitter yesterday that was unlike any announcement that I've ever seen from a high school football player. He posted a screenshot of the iPhone Notes app and said, quote, "After countless hours of evaluation, I have made the decision to forego my senior season of high school football. This has been a very difficult decision for my family and I. Football is a brutal sport, and the wear and tear associated with the running back position is undeniable. I plan to take this time to focus on my academics while enhancing my off-the-field training slash rehab regimen. This is a strategic and conscious effort to ensure that I am prepared to perform at an elite level at the collegiate rankings during the 2022 season," end quote. He went on to thank his high school teammates and his coaching staff. But, Rod, the story is Jaden Blue is opting out of his senior year of high school football to get ready for life on the 40 acres.
Yeah, it is, like you said, it's unprecedented. I cannot remember a high school prospect coming out that decided to make this decision. You know, we've talked about it for a long time, how a lot of the college players have decided to sit out bowl games. Of course, you saw opt-outs because of COVID. But still, a player just deciding to sit out an eligible year. This is last eligible year of high school just to focus on his academics. He did say that. Nobody wants to bring that up, but he did say his academics. And he'll graduate early because his plan is to enroll at Texas early. So for him, he's trying to save his body the wear and tear of another football season at the high school level so that he can go to the college level a little bit earlier and participate in spring ball, I'm assuming, when he enrolls. So he's taking care of himself academically. I think people should be proud of the young man for that. And there is, you know, I would say that there is some substance to his argument. We've talked about it for a long time. I looked at Max Preps in the last 2 years, right? His 2 years on varsity, he's got 432 total carries. Right, so he's getting 200-plus carries. And I even look at the receptions, but that's just 200-plus carries. So he's getting probably around 220, 230 touches. And I'm assuming this year he was going to replicate that, right? It's going to be, or at least probably even get more this year, considering he's one of the best running backs in the country. And I know right now he's still young. I don't know, maybe he's 17, going on 18, something like that. I don't know exactly what his age is, but he's 17 years old in that range. I know this is crazy to bring up, but the stats and all the analytics at the NFL level that have been done say that running backs, the majority of them, unless you are Adrian Peterson Freaky, Eric Dickerson Freaky, Frank Gore, unless you are one of those guys, and those guys are the exception to the rule, that you're going to peak at age 27. Like, that's it. Like, running back production, they've been doing a study since 2001 with running backs in the NFL with a minimum average of 75 carries. So you peak at age 27. After that, your production drops precipitously. 15% by the time you get to be 28, 25% by the time you get to be 29, 40% by the time you get to be 30. There are a ton of these different studies. Some call theirs the 370 rush rule. You've heard of these, BK, these different studies about running backs and their decline. The truth is, running backs have a shelf shelf life, unlike other positions, they, you know, they depreciate in value much quicker than other positions. So what this young man is basically saying is, all right, let's just say I do peak at age 27, and maybe I may peak a little sooner than that if it's about wear and tear, if it's about, you know, load management. Right now, like the NBA does with some of their NBA superstars, the young man's thinking about load management. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, I want to be fresher at the college level. And he's looking even further because all these guys believe they're going to play in the NFL. So he's saying, I want to be even fresher when I get to the NFL and still be a guy that has enough durability where I can get to a second contract and still be a really good player. Now, some people say, oh, man, that's crazy. That's a pipe dream. That's the one percent of the 1%. I agree. Mm-hmm. But all these guys believe they're going to be a part of that group.
Yep.
And if you don't believe, it ain't going to happen for you. You got to believe that. You got to have that irrational confidence and arrogance about it. So I initially wanted to dislike the decision.
Yeah.
I did. Every fiber of my football being was against this. I had such cognitive dissonance trying to break this down. But the truth is, he's kind of going along with some of the logic, BK, that you and I and KD and a lot of other football fans out there have been talking about for years. We applied to the NFL draft about the value of the running back position, mm-hmm. and overpaying for running backs. And don't pay Zeke because he's a running back. He's gonna depreciate very quickly. But he's just applying it to his own situation and circumstance. And a lot of people don't want him to use that same logic. And to me, that's a flawed argument.
Yeah.
I have to give the young man his props. He's a valid argument he's making. He's not going to improve his blue chip stock.
Right.
He's going to go from the 33rd overall player to the 23rd. Okay. He's still committed to Texas. He's got the scholarship.
Exactly.
So right now, just go focus on, keep your eyes on the prize, young man. He's got his eyes on the prize.
And Mike Roach of Horns 24/7 reported that Jaden Blue talked to the Texas coaches before making this decision.
Yeah.
So by all accounts, the Texas coaches were cool with this. They were 100% down with this. And I am too. It is a personal decision. It is a business decision by Jaden Blue. You're right. What's the point of playing another year of high school football? You know, obviously you get to play high school football. I love high school football.
Me too.
Get to help your team compete for a state championship, but it's not going to help you in any way beyond high school football.
Really?
You're already locked in to a great university. You're just risking things by playing another year. It is a business decision. And hell, you know, when I got into the University of Texas, this is a very apples to oranges comparison, but once I got into UT, I basically opted out of high school too. I stopped giving a rat's ass about anything. So it'd be very hypocritical for me to be too critical of Jaden Blue's decision.
Good point.
Yeah, he's looking out for himself.
One.
And you're right. Look, the chances of Jaden Blue making it to the NFL might not be that high, right? I know he's a blue chip recruit. I know he's a top 50 player in the class of 2022, but there are plenty of blue chip guys who don't make it to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And hell, we've seen a lot of them come through Texas and not make it to the NFL, unfortunately. But these are the type of decisions that give you a better chance of making it to the NFL. And I love this. Like, personally and professionally, I love this. I love it personally because I'm a Texas fan. And Jaden Blue is saying, I care about Texas. Mm-hmm. I want to take this year off so I can be better at Texas. I want to make an impact as soon as I get to Texas.
Yep.
So as a fan, I have to love that. I don't care about Klein Kane High School. No offense, Klein Kane fans. I care about the University of Texas. I love that Jaden Blue is making this decision to, of course, help himself. It's a business decision for him, but it's also something that will benefit the University of Texas. And yeah, you brought it up, man. It's no secret. Running backs take a beating. The wear and tear on their bodies accumulates faster than any other position in football. And you ran through the numbers beautifully. I mean, you're lucky if you get to 30. As a running back in today's NFL.
Yep.
And there's a reason why teams aren't giving long-term contracts to running backs anymore and why that position is becoming devalued. It's because the wear and tear catches up to these running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get to take a year off of this wear and tear, that might add a year at the end of your career. It makes perfect sense. I'm with you. I wanted to hate it. And at first, I hated when guys were opting out of bowl games because I'm like, ah, you're quitting on your team. You're quitting on your teammates. You're quitting on your coaches. You signed a scholarship. Then I'm like, well, the ultimate goal is to play on Sundays.
Come on.
So how mad can I be?
Exactly.
Like, I'd like to think if I was in his situation, I wouldn't do the same thing, but probably would. I probably would.
Have we seen, and we hadn't seen guys opting out of college football playoff games yet, right? We've seen them opting out of exhibition bowl games.
Right.
Which, honestly, how much does that matter? what is that? Does it matter that much? I think I would be upset if somebody kind of opted out of a college football playoff game, because that's to win the championship. Mm-hmm. Now, people would say, well, this young man, he's got a chance to win a championship. He does. I mean, I'm sure he's got a chance, just like, I don't know, the other, I don't know how many high schools are in Texas, right? There's 300 high schools out there in Texas. Yeah, he's got a chance, but, you know, it's a slim chance. Some people would say that he is being self-interested and he's not being a team-oriented guy. He's got to deal with that criticism, and that's fair mm-hmm. when people want to bring that up. I think you hit the nail on the head when you say it's a business decision, and the young man's already thinking like a businessman, all right? As Jay-Z said, all right? Not a businessman.
I'm a business man.
Yeah.
All-time great line right there. The question is, Rod, does this start a trend? I mean, it was kind of shocking when Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette became the earliest college football stars to opt out. I think it was them. I remember a massive reaction when those guys announced that they mm-hmm. weren't going to play in their bowl games, and people absolutely lost their minds. It started with those two, and now you get dozens and dozens of college football players opting out of bowl games, and it feels like that number is increasing each and every year.
Yeah, so those guys like first-round picks who did it. Now you got guys who were drafted in the fifth and sixth round, like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm not playing that bowl game.
That's half of Texas a couple of years ago, exactly. Right? And even last year, too. The question now becomes, is Jaden Blue about to start a trend with high school athletes across the country? And we might not see this offseason, but let's say Jaden Blue comes to Texas in 2022 and is really, really good as a freshman. And he has a better freshman season than any other running back in college football. Do you think he could start a trend? Do you think other high school athletes, it might not just be football players, it could be high school athletes in any sport who already have a full ride to play college somewhere, you think they'll start deciding to maybe do this? And this might be a trend where guys are opting out of their senior years to get ready for college.
Wow. If his story is a success story, I do think, because you're right, it could take a domino effect and it could take a couple of years, right, for people to be able to witness that. But, yeah, if he has success at this level and ends up going to the NFL, I do believe you could see more players do it. I think you will see more players do it now anyway because he's opened the door. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many players. I think it'll be, you know, sporadic, and it won't be something that is a kind of a windfall. I think it'll happen slowly, drip by drip. But I think, honestly, it makes so much sense for the running back position specifically. Doesn't make a lot of sense for a lot of other positions because you don't have the data. We have analytical data, and everybody agrees. Oh, yeah, running back deteriorates and depreciates faster than any other position, the wear and tear. Mm-hmm. You could get some other positions. Maybe linemen will start saying that too. Like, hey, man, I'm a lineman. I got to go. You know, I take a beating. I got to get to the next level as fast as possible. Then after that, everybody will start making excuses to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, and all you need is a really good excuse. So I'm with you. I think now it's inevitable. I just don't know how quickly it becomes normalized.
So this wasn't much of a thing back in your high school and college days, but if you could put yourself in today's high schoolers and college players' mm-hmm. shoes, would it bother you if you had a teammate make a decision like this, whether it was before the season, like Jaden Blue, or midway through the season? Hell, Joey Bosa did it a couple of years ago. He got hurt in the first game, and mm-hmm. he hung him up. I'm done. I'm out. Yeah. I'm not playing anymore. I think that Ohio State team ended up making it to the college football playoff.
They did. You're right.
And he did not come back for that. Would that bother you as a teammate of one of these guys? Does it feel like your teammate is quitting on you a little bit?
No, it wouldn't bother me. I mean, everybody's got to make their own decision. I mean, you got your own situation you're in, and usually you don't know their family situation, their financial situation. It wouldn't bother me personally. I know it would bother some guys on the team. I'm sure it would. It'd be split, just like society is split on the issue. That locker room reflects that. So, yeah, there would definitely be guys who had a problem with it. I personally wouldn't, because I could put myself in that person's shoes, and I could see myself making a similar decision. I just wasn't talented enough to have to make that kind of decision, you know what I mean? But I got to tell you, the young man laid out a pretty good argument, start talking about, you know, the wear and tear of the running back position. I think whoever helped him frame the argument was smart. He didn't just say, nah, I'm opting out and I'm done. Remember, he did put out, you said, a tweet first mm-hmm. and then put out something to clarify this. To clarify whatever the tweet was. But I think whoever put it together was smart. They knew, like, hey, you got to throw out the fact that everybody agrees that running back is a position that has a short shelf life. So we started with something that was almost a unanimous opinion, a consensus opinion, and then laid out his argument. And I think that's why today, I know some people are being critical, but most of the people that I've talked to, they see the validity in his argument.
Yeah, he did a great job with his statement. Yeah. Right? He talked about why he's making this decision.
Brought up the academics.
He talked about what he's going to focus on instead of playing football this season. And then, yeah, he said, this is an incremental step in hopes of one day fulfilling my NFL dreams. It's hard to get mad at a kid for trying to follow his dreams. Isn't that what we teach our kids?
Yeah.
Follow your dreams. Follow you can do anything you set your mind to. Jaden Blue is making a decision to try to follow his dreams.
Yep.
To try to achieve his dreams.
Yeah.
I can't criticize him too
much.
And
it's a brave step because, like you said, nobody's ever done it.
No one's ever done it.
It's a brave move by the young man.
Yeah, when the tweet went out, though. That was an iPhone Notes screenshot, but he also wrote a little bit on the tweet itself that accompanied the screenshot. He said, 23 signing out. Thanks to everyone for the support. Hashtag hook 'em. When I saw that, like before I opened up the screenshot,
you figured
I thought he had decommitted.
Worst case scenario. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? We need to be worried about Sark. Turns out this was the decision made by Jaden Blue, and I don't think the Texas coaches are going to have any problems with it.
Man, they're stockpiling running backs. Obviously, Rojo and Bijan, I mean, they are the identity of the ground game right now, but you got Jonathan Brooks coming in, Jaden Blue coming in, then Reuben Owens, the Black Unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Unicorn.
That was my nickname back in high school.
The Black Unicorn?
Didn't make a lot of sense. Well,
I was just like, who gave you that nickname? You gave it to yourself.
Yeah, and
you?
I was the only person who called myself that, too. I just walk around speaking in third person. The Black Unicorn's on his way to science
class. Who are you talking about?
Right here. Right here, baby. Before we go to break, let me tell you all about audiovisual consultations. We're excited about Texas football. I know y'all are excited about Texas football. Make sure you have your TV set up done the way you want by the time Texas football rolls around. You can do it before then, too. The NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs going on right now. College baseball's postseason about to get going. Major League Baseball in full swing. Never a dull moment on the sports calendar. Make sure you call my friends at Audiovisual Consultations to get your home TV set up spruced up. They are the best in the business, and they've been in business here in Central Texas since 1988. That's right, guys. They've been around longer than I have. They started in Central Texas. They have stayed in Central Texas. Nobody does better work than my friends at AV Consultations. Whether you want four TVs on one wall like I have, or you want a big screen with surround sound for your living room, a home theater room, something for your patio or backyard, AV Consultations has your back. Just give them a call. I promise you will not regret it. It's 512-255-8678. That's 255-8678. Or check them out online. It's avconsultations.com. This is the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside the All-American Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner. And when we return, we'll talk NBA. One more play-in game tonight, but the real postseason gets going tomorrow. We'll give our predictions for Mavs Clippers. We'll also give our title predictions as well. Next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Country Music Friday right here on the Triple Option with RBKD. You always can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK is at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. You also can watch the Triple Option. Go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream. It's just that easy. Little George Strait?
Yes, sir.
Well, I know that. Everybody knows Amarillo by morning.
Just making sure.
Really?
With you guys, you never know.
Come on, man. That's like a universal classic.
It is.
It does stand out. Even like first, like the first couple of little notes you hear, you immediately know that it's Amarillo by Morning.
He's headlining Austin City Limits this year.
Yeah. We haven't talked about the lineup. You excited about the lineup?
I'm excited about ACL.
So you don't like the lineup? You're such an old man. This is supposed to be your group that likes this.
No.
Like, this is for your demo.
No, from not what I've heard. Year. This year really? It's for the kids. There's a lot of TikTok artists out there.
You're
this
still
year.
Kind of a, I mean, you're young, you're what are you, 24, 25?
I wish, man.
What? How old are you?
I'm washed up.
How old are you?
27.
Yeah, you're older than I thought, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know why I got this young BK stuck in my head. Yeah. You're closer to 30.
It sucks.
Dude, you might not like the lineup then.
No.
My bad.
It's all right. I mean, it's good. There are some good headliners. Disappointed that there are no rock and roll headliners. Like, you've got some rap in there. You've got some country in there. You've got some pop in there. But no rock and roll.
The main headliners, George Strait, of course. Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish?
Sure. Fine.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks?
She's like 19, so I'll have 400,000 more opportunities to see her.
She's like a genius, though.
She's great.
She's
very
like
talented.
A musical savant.
Yeah. I feel like just she's going to be easy to see for a long time, though.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about you want the people here you wouldn't ever get a chance to see normally.
Right.
I gotcha.
George Strait's one of those guys, that even though he's the Brett Favre of music, to where he's retired 10 times and unretired 11.
Does he have a lot of retirement tours?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is it?
He's genius.
This is it, guys.
Everybody thinks his last time.
Last time you could see George Strait.
People spend a ton of money to go see him, and then he's back like 2 years later. And he pulls the same stunt, and everyone falls for it again.
That's genius. Get a man some props.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks?
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus? They got Miley Cyrus up there with the big time.
Yeah, I don't know if she should be.
I don't know if she should be
one
either.
Of those big names.
And I'm not a Miley Cyrus hater, but I don't know about that. DaBaby, the rapper.
Yeah.
DaBaby. I mean, he's not bad, but he's blowing up. Most of the DaBaby songs I like are, you know, it's him and someone else, like featuring another artist. Like,
okay.
I don't know how many DaBaby songs that I like was just him by
himself.
He
is criticized for being a guy that sounds the same in every song.
Oh, DaBaby?
Mm-hmm. Similar flow. Obviously, his voice is his voice. He's not going to change that from song to song. But I like him, but polarizing.
Yeah. And I got more DaBaby songs on my phone now in the last month, which means it must be something that's trending.
Yeah.
Like he's trending.
And I'm sure the older population, I hate even saying that.
That's me.
But, yeah, you.
But at least I got some DaBaby on the phone.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like you're in the minority in terms of people your age or above.
I got a young
one. There
are
a lot of people who are like, why is that guy a headliner? Who is that guy? Is that someone's kid going to be up there? Who is that? So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty good lineup, and I'm excited about it because it wasn't here last year, so I'm going to go for sure. Man, I just like... Maybe I'm an old man for doing this, but I just go back and look at some of the lineups from like 2014, 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
And I look at them and I look at this year's. And I'm like, it's night and day difference.
Yeah, I can see that. What's a post-COVID one? We got to give them some time to get back on track. Erykah Badu is also part of the main headliners. And Rufus Du Sol?
Rufus Du Sol.
I don't know if I know a lot of Rufus Du Sol. I'm not going to lie.
I've been told that's a fantastic show.
Okay.
A lot of lights.
Oh, is he like the DJ that wears like tidy whities or something?
Oh, I don't know if he wears tidy whities.
I don't know if he wears like a bathrobe or something.
It's a group. I think it's like three guys.
All right. I was going to say. I was like, not that guy.
No. Who you're thinking of.
I have no idea.
I don't know if I want to know who you're thinking of. The guy's just on stage and like briefs up there.
Yeah, it's like a DJ, does it? Anyway, that's why I know I'm not cool anymore. I don't even know the name. Anyway, Megan Thee Stallion. I do like Black Pumas being on the ticket, too.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly. So it's, I mean, I think it appeals to a younger demo.
And that's probably
skewed younger than normal, actually.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that's what they want, right?
I believe so.
Because there are people like me, and there are people who are just going to go every year regardless of what the lineup
is. Are you one of those people?
So, yeah. I mean, I didn't go. It took me a long time.
I'm not one of those people.
In Austin to go, but like the last 3 years, I think I've gone. So it took me way too long to go for the first time, but once I went, I'm like, all right, I need to be a part of this thing every
year. No, that's a good point. Yeah. I'm one of those people that believes, strange belief, live music is a little overrated, so I don't go to festivals and stuff like that.
You've lived in Austin for how long?
It's all good. I mean, I don't hate on it, but I think it's a little low. The things people do just to get out and go hear live music. I'm like, it's music, though. You can just hear it anytime.
I'm not dropping $500 for a concert.
Yeah, they have to be out amongst people and listen to it and sing along with the crowd. Like, that's not really my thing. I spend money to go see stand-up comedy.
Okay.
Like, I've gone to see Chris Rock and Seinfeld and, you know, I mean, Dave Chappelle a couple of times. Like, that's what I'll spend money on.
I got you.
But the concert thing, it's just, I'm like, all right. My woman goes a lot, though.
The worst part of ACL is that it happens during football season.
That's true. That's maybe that's another reason why.
Because one of the weekends is always during Texas OU, which is smart because a lot of the city is not in the city, right? They're up in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl for that game.
That is pretty cool.
But the other weekend, I mean, it's still during football season, so usually the Longhorns are playing a game on the other weekend.
And it's around Texas OU. Close around that time.
Yeah. It's
yeah. Oh, and just to be gay, that just hurts his soul.
Football is awesome, man.
Split his football time, football commitment with any other commitment.
That's why I didn't go in college. I was like, I like football too much. I don't want to give up a tailgate. I don't want to give up a UT game for music.
You only got a few of them, though. ABD, you only got like six of those, so I feel you on that.
Yeah.
I feel you on that. All right, let's get to some NBA discussion here. We're going to make our picks real quick, so we'll kind of go rapid fire here, but I want to go through first. Let's talk about the West play-in game, because the playoffs aren't officially set because you still got a play-in game, and Golden State and Memphis are going to battle it out for that eighth seed. That's the first one we'll pick, and then we'll go through the West because I want to talk about the Mavs a little bit and their matchup versus the Clippers. All right, Golden State Warriors, Memphis, what's your pick?
Taking Golden State.
I think everybody is.
Yeah, and that worries me.
Why?
That nobody's picking Memphis. I just get nervous whenever, like, everybody. I mean, these are two evenly matched teams. Right? Like, going into the final day of the regular season, these teams had the same record. So, it's not like Memphis is way worse than Golden State or anything like that. But Golden State's got the best player on the floor. They've got playoff experience that Memphis doesn't have. So, I can't pick Memphis. And it's in San Francisco, too. So, yeah. I'm taking the Dubs.
That's a good point. I'm just, I'm not picking against Steph, man.
No, not the way he's been playing.
Not the way he's been playing. All right, let's start on the West, because I want to start with the Mavs and their matchup versus the Clippers. I know you want to get into this matchup a little bit. Ultimately, I'm going to pick, the Clippers. But I think it's going to be a closer matchup than people think. I think the Mavs are ready, because they're familiar with the Clippers a little bit, to give them a run for their money.
Yeah, I think so, too. They played last year in the bubble. Clippers won in six. But Kristaps Porzingis did not play in the final three games of that series. So he's got to stay healthy for the Mavs to have a chance. We found that out last year. If he gets hurt, then the Mavs are in trouble. The Clippers are good. I know they're the four seed in the West, but in terms of point differential in the NBA this year, they were second in the league. Like, their record's a little bit deceiving. They've got some studs. I think they're on a mission after what happened last year, blowing that 3-1 lead. I'm picking the same result. It pains me to do it as a Mavs fan. I just don't quite think the Mavs are there yet. I think the Clippers have way more depth than the Mavs do. I do think you could argue the Mavs have the best player in this series, which is crazy because the Clippers have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, but Luka's just that good right now. But depth-wise, I'm going to go with the Clippers in six.
Didn't last year Luka almost averaged a 30-point triple-double?
He was incredible. That was his first playoff series, and it's like, okay, is he going to be able to play like he did in the regular season in the postseason? And he passed that test with flying colors.
Kristaps Porzingis, to add to your point, though, when he was healthy, man, he was unbelievable. In those three appearances he made in the last year's playoffs, 23 points per game, and was,
yeah,
was really effective.
The Mavs have a chance. Yeah. Like, not enough people, I think, are giving the Mavs a chance, and I just said I'm picking the Clippers to win,
but
so
I
have to be a hypocrite.
No, I see what you're saying.
I think every game's going to be close, and the Mavs actually took 2 of 3 from the Clippers during the regular season, so it wouldn't shock me if the Mavs found a way to pull off the upset, but man, I just think the Clippers are deeper.
And I don't, the Clippers don't really turn it on until the postseason. Mm-hmm. They load management, that is like their key phrase. That's their motto for the regular season.
And this is huge for the Clippers, man.
It is.
Because they could blow this thing up if they don't get to where they want to get.
I think they're
going
to have to.
And the Mavs, obviously, you want to win whenever you can, but you got Luka, who's 21. You got Kristaps, who's in his early 20s. Like, they're going to have other chances. So, not to say the Mavs won't be as motivated as the Clippers, but the Clippers, this is a big year for them.
I'm with you on that. I agree. All right, let's go about that Denver Nuggets-Portland Trail Blazers series. I think I'm taking the Nuggets in this series, even though, I mean, picking against, I'll take the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But I think it's going to be a pretty even series,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I do, too. I mean, it's, Portland's getting some guys back from injury. They've been banged up all year long. Dame Lillard is an absolute monster. You know what? I'm taking the upset here. I'm going to go with Portland.
Yeah.
As I'm talking through it.
No, I was going to do it too, but I'm glad you did it.
I'm going with Portland.
I was going to. All right. I like that you did it, though. That makes me feel good that I was going to flip-flop. but I decide to stay with it. I'll stay the course.
Yeah, you should probably bet on Denver then if I'm picking Portland.
What does your cousin think?
He'll probably avoid that.
Phoenix Suns versus the Lakers.
You can't pick the Suns.
Suns are a 2 seed. Lakers are a 7 seed.
I feel so bad for Phoenix, man.
You know I'm not picking the Suns. I'm picking LeBron.
I'm not picking LeBron.
not the Lakers, LeBron.
Yeah. Boy, you feel for Phoenix. It's the best year they've had in a decade. They get the 2 seed in the West. Generally, you get kind of an easy first-round opponent when you're playing the 7. Not the case. I'm taking the Lakers, too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think LeBron might be on a mission himself. All right, let's go to the East. The Knicks, speaking of teams who hadn't competed in the playoffs in a while, the Knicks versus the Hawks. Where are you going? I'm going Knicks, man.
Yeah.
I'm going Knicks. I'm on the bandwagon.
It's the first-round series I care the least about. Knicks-Hawks just doesn't do anything for me. Because I don't think either of these teams has a chance to win in the second round.
Yeah.
I think there's like 3 legit teams in the East that have a shot of coming out of the East. And after that, it's just a bunch of hog molly. So I'm going Knicks, but this will be the series I won't watch. I'll watch it, but this will be the series I won't go out of my way to watch. Probably a better way to describe it.
Bucks versus the Heat. This should be a good series.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Bucks because speaking of blowing things up if they can't get it done,
dude.
I think the Bucks' backs are up against the wall, too.
I mean, the Heat embarrassed the Bucks last year, right? 5 games. The Bucks, the top seed in the East. They lose in the second round in 5. Milwaukee's the better team. I'm picking Milwaukee, too. They've got some demons to exercise. I think they actually make relatively quick work of the Heat. I think it's Bucks in 5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nets and the Celtics. I'll take the Nets. That's an easy pick for
Sexy
me.
Sexy on paper, but this isn't a normal Boston team.
And it's not a normal Nets team.
No.
Even though they haven't played that much together, we all assume that, when they're all playing and healthy, they're going to be unbelievable, really tough to beat. We didn't talk about the Jazz. We assume they're going to play the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Go Utah.
You got Jazz?
Yeah.
Jazz, they're the number one seed.
I know. People are sleeping on them, man.
It's because of the Jazz.
The number one and number two seed in the West. Like, how big of a deal is that? How hard is it to be a top two seed in the Western Conference at today's NBA? And nobody thinks Utah or Phoenix is good. Like, everyone's picking them to lose early. No one has any faith in those teams.
Because it's about superstars. We're a superstar, celebrity-driven society. So if you don't have superstars, I know they got some stars, but no superstars. People, it's hard for them to believe in you.
Yeah.
They won't bet on you.
Exactly. Utah's going to win the first round, but if they get matched up with the Clippers in round 2, I think I'd probably pick the Clips there.
Who's your NBA Finals picks? Who are your NBA Finals picks? Teams.
It's Brooklyn, man. I got the Nets winning it all. I mean, if those guys stay healthy, like, I know they haven't played a lot of games this year, but they'll figure it out.
Nets, Lakers? Or Nets, Clippers? I got Nets, Lakers.
Okay.
And I'll have the Nets winning it all because I don't see how the Lakers can match up with it.
Yeah. I hate picking Pandemic P, but I'm going Nets over Clippers.
Okay.
Clippers never get there. It's stupid. I'm regretting this immediately.
No, but your theory is it's about urgency. And they're desperate. Desperation of, man, what a letdown it would be. What a disappointment we would be. What a bust this whole experiment would be if we don't win it all.
If they don't even get to the finals.
Yes,
too.
It's even worse. Yeah. Bigger indictment.
No doubt. But you're going Nets. Nets is your winner?
I'm going Nets. Yeah. I want to pick LeBron. I hate pick. You know what? And I might flip-flop on this. Just let me watch the playoffs a little bit.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't see how the hell anybody matches up with the Nets. They are unstoppable.
And they got 3 of the best 10 players in the world, dude. It's not fair.
And the bench, they're deep.
Yeah.
It's like they got former all-stars just on the bench as Jags now.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It is stupid. But it'll be fun. The NBA playoffs officially get going tomorrow. 4 game ones tomorrow, 4 game ones on Sunday. So we'll have some stuff to recap on Monday here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back after the break, we'll talk Texas baseball. Oh, the Longhorns had a Big 12 title served up to them on a silver platter last night, and they dropped it, and the platter shattered in front of all of us. We'll recap last night's game and tell you how the Horns can salvage the weekend next. Country Music Friday here on the Triple Option with RBKD alongside the All-American Rod Babers. I am BK Brad Kellner. Coming up in about 12 minutes, we've got audio from Chris Del Conte, the athletic director for the University of Texas, was on with Bucky and Aaron this morning. We've got some cuts, CDC talking about Chris Beard, CDC talking about Steve Sarkisian, and much, much more. So we'll play some of the highlights from that interview coming up in about 12 to 13 minutes from now. Last night, though, Rod B., was very disappointing for Texas baseball fans.
Yeah.
The Longhorns dropped the season opener. I keep saying season opener. It's not the season opener. We have two games left. Why do I keep saying that?
Because you're hoping to restart the season over again, I guess.
No, I'm not. We're number two in the country. I'm pretty cool with the way things have gone.
You started it pretty bad, too.
That's
0-3.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I don't want to relive Arlington. And the week before, Arlington was the Icepocalypse, a.k.a.
Snowmageddon. Oh, that's right. That's probably why they started so bad. They were distracted.
I really don't want to relive
that. By the snowvid.
Yeah, that was a disaster. Texas baseball dropped the series opener to West Virginia last night, 5-4, the final score from the dish. The Longhorns had a number of opportunities to tie the game or take the lead late, but they couldn't cash in. Texas left 11 men on base. They actually had the tying run 90 feet away with two outs in the ninth, but a strikeout ended the rally and ended the game. Not Ty Madden's best night. Gave up 3 home runs, 5 runs, 4 of them earned. Rod, I'll tell you what, I wasn't sure what to expect from Texas baseball last night just because it had been so long since they had played a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last time they had played officially was May 9th, which was the series finale in Fort Worth. That game feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
It had been a while since they had played. I thought there could be some rust, and they gave up 2 in the top of the first inning. And I was like, all right, well, there's that rust that I thought could appear. But then they scored 2 in the bottom of the first inning to tie it up, and I'm like, well, there's Texas baseball. There's the resiliency of this bunch we've seen from this team time and time again this year. And I'm thinking we're good. Like once we tied the game up in the bottom of the first, it's all good. We're about to cruise to a victory. But that didn't happen. Texas falls last night, and it hurts. It hurts regardless, but knowing that TCU lost and you got the help you needed from K-State in Manhattan, it makes it hurt even more.
Yeah, it was strange because West Virginia did to Texas what Texas usually does to opposing teams. They answered. Every time Texas would get some momentum, every time they'd have a big play, a run. Remember Antico tied it with that solo shot?
Mm-hmm.
They'd answer. They answered his home run in the fourth with a home run in the fifth.
Yeah.
Like they just every time I was thinking that, okay, Texas now, they're starting to get their groove. Now they're starting to get confident. Texas is about to lay it on. West Virginia would make a really big play. So I'll give them some props. They're the ones who are actually resilient in that game and kept bouncing back. I think Texas has answered this year really well when they've struggled or when they've lost. So I expect them to bounce back in game 2 and have a really good performance. But I'm with you. I think they were rusty. And I don't know how much psychologically it affected their play that they're thinking about what TCU's doing. That's always dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches try to avoid that, worrying about what another team's doing. I don't know if that was communicated to the players or if they just somebody on their phone figured out, oh, man, TCU lost. And maybe, you know, maybe they breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe to them that was something that, they relaxed after that. I have no idea. But obviously this team they didn't have that crystallized focus we usually see from them, and they weren't able to close it out. They still, I hate to say it, if, you know, they didn't run out of time, but they kept answering. They kept trying to assert themselves, but West Virginia just, every time they do it, they would make a big play or they would figure out a way to subdue the momentum.
Yeah, they answered every Texas answer. And I'm less worried about relaxation than I am about pressure because I do think Texas knew what was going on with TCU. And if they did, there's pressure there. Like, hey, we've got an opportunity, boys. If we went out this weekend, we're going to win the Big 12 championship. That had some pressure right there. And more often than not, this team has responded to pressure, but the closer you get to the postseason, the more the pressure increases. So that was a chance against some pressure last night, and the pressure won out against Texas. So I'm not pushing a panic button. I'm not saying sound the alarms or anything like that, although last night after the game, the fire alarm was going off at the tennis center for some reason, which was very confusing.
Hey, the tennis team's on fire, man.
Well done there.
Yeah.
Well done there, sir. Both tennis teams, men's and women's tennis teams,
and women's
are on fire. But, that was like, I think that was a pressure-packed situation with everything that was on the line. And once again, I do think Texas knew what was going on in Manhattan, Kansas, and they couldn't quite get it done. So the good news is, like, as frustrating as it is that TCU lost and you missed an opportunity, Well, the good news is TCU lost, and you still have an opportunity. So Texas needs to win these final two games against the Mountaineers. TCU needs to lose one more. That's a tough ask for TCU to lose a series to one of the worst teams in the conference, K-State. But because the Horned Frogs also lost last night, you don't completely close the book on Texas winning the Big 12 title this week.
And K-State had their ace on the mound.
Yeah, like that was the game. Last night was the game. If K-State was going to win a game, we thought it would be last night. So now the hope is they could find another one over these next 2 days. And TCU's been struggling as of late. They dropped the series to Louisiana Monroe last weekend. So if they could lose 2 of 3 to the Warhawks, maybe they could lose 2 of 3 to K-State, too, and help Texas out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just entirely possible. They just thought West Virginia was a scrub team. I mean, with the record coming in, with Texas hadn't played in a while, they probably were pretty high on themselves because they actually rose in all of the rankings without playing any games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible, as Mac Brown used to say, there was too much sugar on their back.
Mm.
They were feeling themselves a little too much coming
too much
out there.
Sugar on their back.
That's what Mac used to say.
That's interesting.
I don't even know what that really means. I think that means you like feel real good about yourself.
You got
the big head.
Is that what I'm supposed to do when I feel good about myself? Just pour a bunch of sugar on my back?
And Mac used to say that.
I'm a big Def Leppard fan. Pour some sugar on me.
That was one of Mac's sayings. That sugar on. And I never really got it. I was like, he must have brought that from Tennessee with him or something.
That's a southern thing right there.
I took it, though. I've used this ever since. Man. And I still really don't know what it means. But I know what it means, but I don't know what the origin of the saying is. Sugar on their back.
I know what it means. I don't know if it makes sense.
Exactly.
Unreal. Shout out to Occupy Left Field and the left field crew, by the way, always welcoming. I was out there last night, despite the result, still a very, very good time. A lot of people send their love to you, Rod B.
Shout out.
People know you and don't know me. Like, I was talking to this woman, and I was like telling her that I work at the Horn. She's like, oh, that's great. Do you know Rod Babers? I love Rod Babers.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Love these people. I love it.
I work with that guy every day. This woman had no idea who I was.
Everybody knows BK.
I listen to Rod B every day. Do you know me? I'm on his show. No.
It's our show.
I love Rod B, though.
It's a triple option.
Okay. Like, how do you not? You got more fans than me, Rod B.
That's because I'm older. I've been around longer. And that's all it is.
You
trust
more
me.
For the university than I did, I would say.
Yeah.
There's no argument
but
there.
But you're still working hard for the university, brother. Don't worry.
5-star journalism recruit.
Exactly.
Right here. Put some respect on my name. All right, Texas baseball back at it tonight. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch. Craig Way on the call. You'll hear that game right here on the Horn. When we come back, CDC was on with B&E this morning. State of the Athletic Department, talking Sark, talking Chris Beard, and much more. We'll play the highlights next.